What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by one of the coolest dudes in video games, Greg Miller.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Again, it's been a while.
Tongue thing.
I'm sorry. What, Kevin? Can we introduce the show? What, Kevin?
You stuck your tongue out and vibrated it like Nick.
That doesn't seem like something I would do. That was nasty. I'm Greg Miller, trending games.
Tim wasn't watching. It was gross.
If it happened, Tim would call me on it. Instead, Tim is looking great in the PS I Love You XOXO sweatshirt available right now.
Where can you get it?
Kindoffunny.com/store.
Wow, that's true. That's true. Ladies and gentlemen, though, this show is not about pimping out Kinda Funny products, except it kind of is sometimes.
What are you talking about? We're about to go to housekeeping. Here's a million shows.
It's about video games. This is about all the nerdy video game news that you need to know. You can watch this show live every weekday at 10 a.m. on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can get it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen to it on podcast services around the globe. Just search for Kinda Funny Games Daily. If you want to get the show ad-free, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like our Patreon producers did, Muhammad, Connor Nolan, and Blackjack. We appreciate all three of you and everyone else that's listening, no matter how you're listening, whether you're paying us money, not paying us money, we do appreciate you. Today, we are brought to you by youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, but I will tell you about that later because there's so much we got to get into here. With some housekeeping, some stuff going on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, we do have stuff that I want to pimp out. What is that, Greg Miller?
A whole bunch of stuff. So first off, it's finally happened, ladies and gentlemen. Nick Scarpino's full playthrough of The Last of Us Part 1. And I mean, like, you know, Last of Us number 1, 2013 Last of Us. Well, it's technically remastered. I digress. Is up. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go there and watch Nick play The Last of Us for the first time ever. All he knew was giraffes were in it. That's all he knew. Maybe that's all you know now.
And the thing with that, though, is there was a lot of issues. We were trying to get it up last week. We uploaded it, and a lot of people in the comments were like, hey, there's some weird issues where, like, with editing, I couldn't figure it out. I went with Cool Greg, looked through the whole timeline, and I think it's perfect. It took a week, but I think it's finally uploaded and all right. Part 2 should be going up tomorrow. So that's the complete playthrough of Nick's first time of Last of Us. But go check it out, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. One of the biggest projects we've ever done.
I think you nailed it because all the comments this morning were just yelling about how Nick doesn't respect the game. And so that, like, when you first put it up, there were those comments as well. But then there were the ones of like, hey, an hour in, it doubles the footage, which again, we went and checked on. We don't know why that happened, just a glitch in Premiere. But now it's just back to Nick being a crazy person.
Exactly. But that's not all the updates we have, Greg. What else is going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, guess what? The Kinda Funny Showcase is back, but this time it's called the Gorilla Collective. Yes, you heard us talk about this last week. Then, of course, the Gorilla Collective got delayed. It got delayed 1 week. We've teamed up with our friends at the Media Indie Exchange to do a three-day showcase featuring nearly 90 games, and it all kicks off this Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv. Kinda Funny Games. It's also on Gorilla Collective. It's at a million different places.
Yeah. If you follow us, you'll be able to find it.
I'm not going to shut up about it, so get ready for it.
Yeah. Very exciting stuff. A lot of exciting stuff. Let's get right into it. It's time for the news. We got 7 stories today.
A Baker!
We tag team because I'm not hosting, so me and Kevin can do that thing.
I like that. Like twins, right, it did throw me off when you started doing it, but hey, you know what?
It's because me and Kevin like to ad lib. You know what I mean? Here's the thing: you come in here and you're Mozart. You want all the notes in the same spot. Me and Kevin come in here. We're jazz. We're gonna put them wherever we want to put it.
Bebop, like Whiplash. Boop,
bop, ba-doo. Go, Kevin.
Don't ever do that again, Kevin.
Kevin, let's record a jazz album this afternoon, just using our mouths.
Speaking of things that are throwing me off, ladies and gentlemen, the news right now, number one story, PS5 event rescheduled, ? There's this image that came from a Twitch ad that is the same PS5 future of gaming image that we saw previously when they announced that it was going to happen last week, but with a new date now of June 11th at 9 p.m. BST, and that's what threw me off. I'm like, I don't know what BST is.
British Standard Time, right?
Yeah, but I had to Google that to find that out. But what I did Google, what I learned after that is to translate that to times that mean something to me. It's 1 p.m. Pacific time. So the same time as what last week's event was going to be, 4 p.m. Eastern time, and then 9 p.m. BST.
It seems like they literally just push it a week, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Kevin, I just tossed in, this is a late addition there as a hyperlink. Of course, I saw this originally through Daniel Ahmad, industry analyst over on Twitter. One of his follow-ups is he actually has the ad from Twitch. So we're in this weird spot right now where, of course, we're recording live. I almost said ricotta for some reason. 10 a.m. Pacific time. Once I saw this post, which was roughly around like 9 a.m. an hour ago, I thought immediately, all right, cool, we're going to get an update from PlayStation. PlayStation's going to do it. I turned on the Twitter alerts on my phone and all that. Nothing so far. And so it seems even IGN wrote this up, and IGN wrote it up as if there is, and maybe they've inside information because of Summer of Gaming or whatever they're calling it. They wrote it up with no question. There's no question that it has been rescheduled to this date. And of course, not only is Daniel a trusted source, this is, as if Kevin's showing it right now, a live Twitch ad that you can see for yourself that is playing in front of stuff. So it seems pretty legit that, yeah, we are just waiting now on an official word from PlayStation that, yes, it is June 11th, 1 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, and it's crazy that I feel like we've spent years talking about video game events, but I feel like specifically this event we've talked about more than any other event in history, right?
Like, how many times we've talked about this one a lot.
When is it going to happen? Oh, it's going to happen next month. Oh, it's going to happen the next month. Oh, it's happening. Oh, it's not happening. Oh, when's it going to happen? Oh, now it's maybe happening. And then we're finally going to live react to it this week, right, Greg?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So yeah, as usual, ladies and gentlemen, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames for all your crazy reactions to video game stuff. We'll be live June 11th, 1 p.m. Pacific time, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We will watch the entire conference with you. We will talk over it, which means we'll talk over it, which means if you don't want people talking over it, you should go somewhere else. We understand. However, if you are going to tune in somewhere else to watch it with no commentary, we urge you to come back after the show. This is breaking news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin, can I get the breaking news noise? Thank you, Kevin. Breaking news from Kinda Funny. Right after we wrap up the PlayStation 5 reveal event, we will do a live episode of PS I Love You XOXO as the post show. So if you're waiting tomorrow with bated breath for PS I Love You, we're actually holding it till the end of this conference. That means twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Come be a part of it. Chat, you will need to be on your game as you ask us questions and we answer them and give you our speculations and pull information that'll be breaking, I'm sure, on the PlayStation blog and IGN and all these different places.
I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about. Very, very excited. So, and also, because we're talking about it right now, Last of Us 2 review this Friday.
Yep.
That's exciting stuff. That'll be
what a week for PlayStation.
Yeah, it's definitely PlayStation. Very exciting stuff.
So if you haven't caught that, of course, ladies and gentlemen, of course, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or the Gamescast feeds on podcast services around the globe. Subscribe. And at 12:01 a.m. Pacific time, Friday morning, we will drop our Last of Us Part 2 review. I will be live in the YouTube comments for the first hour of it, so I'll be able to answer some questions there. But like I said, I guess. So the plan here is this. PS I Love You post show for the PS5 event. We talk, we hang out, we see what's up. Then Last of Us review drops Friday. Then the next week's PS I Love You. So 1 week from now is PS I Love You XOXO will be your Last of Us part two questions answered. Of course, no spoilers, stuff like that. But whatever you read from all the reviews, watching all the reviews, you want answered, you hit us up. Well, me and Blessing will tackle there.
And the review will be Greg Miller, Tim Geddes, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and Christine Steimer from What's Good Games.
Oh, so look at that, everybody. Dream Team reunited.
Cannot wait. That sounds like a lot of fun. But yeah, Greg, so we've talked about this event so much. At this point, is there anything more to say before we get into it?
Have I asked you on the record on a show, do you think they'll show the box?
No, you haven't.
Do you think they'll show the box?
I can't believe I'm torn on it because I feel like a month ago, my answer would have been absolutely. But I feel like just with everything that's happened and how the world has changed and the industry has changed and these events have changed, I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see it. But I think that Sony has been watching all of the kind of reactions that have been going on, and they've learned that they can literally just post any small piece of the PS5 and get an insane reaction. So that kind of leads me to believe, why would they show it if they don't need to here? Like, focus on the games, show off a whole bunch of games, show the box on a random Wednesday in a tweet. You know, like, or in an Instagram post, and have that be your new most liked Instagram post. Like, keep that kind of story going, because seeing the box is one of the least important things in terms of selling. No, but in terms of selling the console,
yeah,
but it's one of the most hyped things as a gamer, just because it's cool, right?
Yeah.
So it's like they don't need to show it. It's not like it's something where people are going to not buy it because of how it looks.
Here's the thing about it is, earlier on when we were talking about this, especially when they popped up with the event and started talking about it and saying, oh, it's about the PlayStation 5 games. You're going to get to look at the PlayStation 5 games. And what I was like, oh, look at how they're wording this. They're wording this so they don't have to show the box or they don't have to expect it, but they're setting your expectations that you're not going to see it. I think, especially with this 1 week delay from where they originally wanted to be, they now are, and I don't know, but they're closer than ever to having to show it in the same way they had to show the DualSense. What I'm reading to you now, Tim. Well, Kevin's here. Hey, Kevin. What I'm reading.
Hey, Greg.
Now, how you having? Did you have a good weekend, Kev?
No, we'll get into it later.
What I'm reading now is Business Korea. This is Business Korea. All right, businesskorea.co.kr. There, Do Hung Yu writes, production of parts related to Sony's PlayStation 5 starts this week. We expect the PlayStation 5 to contribute to semiconductor industry earnings improvement, blah, 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 blah. He goes on, but he keeps on going here, right? And he's we expect for they're talking about the fact they are starting, according to Business Korea, they're starting to actually do production on the PlayStation 5, which means now we are in a race against time to see if PlayStation can officially reveal this thing or if it'll be leaked on 4chan. And so when you get into that, I think your back's against the wall in the same exact way it was with the DualSense controller, where clearly PlayStation's original plan in December 2019 was not just to shit out a blog post and be like, here's a DualSense controller. And Jim Ryan or whoever talking, it wasn't Jim Ryan, the other guy talking in a blog post about it, right? But they said very tellingly in there, hey, everybody, we're starting to ship the DualSense to our developer partners, so we wanted to let you see it too, which between the lines means we know one of these motherfuckers is about to walk into a park and take a photo of it, so we need to show it to you rather than they do. And yeah. I think that's the same situation you're in here. So I think you save it as your one more thing moment. And you don't have to give us the release date. You don't have to give us the price. I hope they give us these things. I wanted this PlayStation 5 event to be the one big bam, here's everything. It is your E3. It is your PlayStation conference from E3. I think, again, with the delay, we might be back to that, where, again, PlayStation's got it. PlayStation's got to be looking at it in some way and be like, dude, 2020 is unbelievable. We have to figure out how to just talk.
I'm almost positive they're not going to give the price. I feel like just with where the world's at now, it doesn't behoove them to have bad news, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not going to be good news. No matter what the number is that the PS5 is going to be, it's not going to be good news because they're not going to be able to hit any level that is good news. So I feel like with where they're at, where it's like they can just say what they want to say.
Yeah.
Don't say the other stuff. Wait till later.
That's my thing, is when we were talking about this event when it first got officially announced and they were stressing games, I think you go through the entire thing, you show a bunch of amazing games, and then you don't have to do the cheesy one more thing, but you're like, there's one more thing, and you show the box and we get a sexy package and 360 spins, you know what I mean, and looking at it and the vents and the cooling, whatever the fuck it is, and you end there.
I don't see that being a one more thing. Like I think one more thing has to be a game. If and by one more
you
thing,
want to open with like, it. Just get so it out of the way. Here's the rip the band-aid off. Here's PlayStation 5.
Maybe not even like it doesn't need to be open, but I'm saying first third.
Yeah.
Of whatever.
I know what you're saying, but here's where I'm with why I was saying that, right? Is I think that if you have this game event, even though they've messaged it as a game event, you go for an hour and change talking about all these games and you end on a big game, the headlines would still be PlayStation 5 shows all these great games, but we still don't know what it looks like. I think you have to, if you show what the box looks like anywhere in this thing, and you show a bunch of amazing games, I think everybody walks away happy. Sure, there'll be the thing of, oh, I can't wait to buy it. I wish I knew how much it was and when it's coming out. But that's not nearly as, that won't dominate the headlines in the way of not showing the box would.
I don't know. I feel like, who cares about, like, we still don't know what the box looks like. It's like, I know, but it's like, but that's the thing is like, that's an exciting thing. We still don't know what the box looks like. It's not like, what are they hiding from us? There's no bad news with the box. You get what I'm saying? It's like,
no, I don't think
distract from whatever the games are going to be.
I just feel like this is
the games are going to be bangers. Like, that's the thing. But with this, even though like they've been promoting it all about the games, we have learned over the last, especially couple of years, that while words and semantics matter, they don't always matter when it comes to these game events. Of like, you can call it a Nintendo Switch showcase, there's still going to be 3DS games. Like, sometimes those rules work, sometimes they don't. So there's no consistency. With this, them talking about the games, the controller is still front and center on the advertisement. That's hardware, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, even if they had the controller being shown off somewhere, that's the thing, we don't even know what this is going to look like. like how many people, humans, are going to actually be on camera for this, you know, if at all.
Is Jim Ryan wearing a shirt and tie? Is he wearing a polo shirt? Is he going to wear a t-shirt?
We don't know, you know,
and Sean Lane going to come back.
That to me is exciting. I doubt that. But I've talked about this so many times. The PlayStation meeting 2013 is one of my favorite conferences of all time. And a lot of that comes down to the fact that they opened so strong with connecting the PlayStation community and making it feel like it's more than just, oh, we make video games. It's like, no. We are all gamers together and we're excited for what this next thing is. And then going through all the architecture, showing like we've already gotten past a lot of the boring parts, quote unquote, in the last couple months of that. So it's like seeing the box is an exciting thing, right? But I wouldn't be surprised if we see it, but it really depends on what the format of this thing is, you know. But I can see this thing opens, hype montage, kind of just building up like the future of gaming, blah, 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 blah. Hopefully it's really fucking cool. And then, yeah, they get in, talk for a second, maybe have a game trailer or whatever, but then be like, cool, let's talk about the box. And then you do see the flipping around 3D shit, like focus on all the different
elements. It's like disassembled and then assembled. They're talking about the solid state drive as it slides in and shit.
Yeah. And then it just like cuts, but then it's just like trailer, right?
Yeah.
And it's like that would be fantastic. That's
perfect.
But take that the box part out of it. And like, I don't think that they missed the mark.
They missed the mark, but I think that PlayStation has to be they don't have to be, I guess. This is stuff we worry about, and I'm sure the bean counters at PlayStation don't, because they know it doesn't really matter. Whoever is worried about public reception. And I think the conference you just talked about, Tim, is bulletproof if they do that, right? And the games are bangers, obviously, which you assume they would be. But if they nail everything you just did, everybody comes out of the event being like, fuck, I loved this game and that game, and the box looks cooler. I don't like the box or this. And you have the conversation about it. Whereas I got some bullets.
I don't think it's bulletproof. There's some bullets, and those bullets are the price and release date.
I don't think you do that. You don't talk about them here.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, but those are the things. I feel like the box and those things go together more than the box and games.
And here's my thing, though. So I think we're on the same page that's my thing is I think you could do the games. One more thing. This is your look at the box, and everybody's happy that you walk and like even say there, we're going to tell you more about that and release plans next month or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you nip it completely in the bud, where people are like, all right, cool. I have a whole bunch of shit to be excited for, and I can't wait for next month. And there's all these great games I just saw.
Yeah, I just feel like from a PR perspective, the games are going to be awesome. We like expect that, right?
If Horizon Zero Dawn 2 isn't a banger, there'll be problems.
There will be problems. But I feel like the price is going to be bad news. The release date is nebulous at this point. Like, who even fucking knows what it's going to be? So that's like barely news, right? Like, they can choose a date. We'll fucking see. But it's like, I think having the box with that is at least distracting of the bad stuff. Like, that is like the glimmer of hope of like, everything you just said, where the people that like it are going to be stoked about it, and the people that have issues are going to start a conversation. And it's like, at least that conversation is going to like distract from the price.
You could do it both ways, though. I mean, if it's just a 360 reveal of the box at the end or whatever, then the next showcase that is, hey, here's the price and the release date, and here's actually what this box is doing and why it's got the crazy cooling in it. And like, hey, yours is, you got a really loud PlayStation 4 at home, don't you? This motherfucker won't be, even though it will
be. That's all I want, Greg. That's all I fucking want. More than
anything. Have you shared your video publicly of you walking around?
I didn't share this one. But Jesus, man, it's insane. I was like 30 feet away from my PS4 in another room, and you could still hear it.
It's done so much good.
Regardless, I'm super excited about this event, and I cannot wait. I hope that it is such a banger of a showcase. Like, we have never had, with the exception of the Nintendo Switch reveal event, we've never had this much potential perfection when it comes to game announcements. And I think that the Nintendo Switch event failed on many levels, and I think looking back on it, it's more
Japanese one.
Yeah, exactly. But it's going into that, there was so much things like we didn't know anything. All we knew was that Breath of the Wild was coming to Switch. We didn't know about Mario Kart. I guess we did from the little clips, but like, we just didn't know about like, oh, all these different franchises, all these different partners, like anything can fucking happen. Here it's different. Here is anything can happen from Sony's first parties. All of them have nothing they're working on right now. We're about to find out, or we could find out, or we can't. And that's the problem. I can't wait for Thursday to answer those and many more questions, Greg.
1 p.m. Pacific, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
Story number two, Cyberpunk 2077 will not be on Stadia at launch. This comes from Matt Herslow at IGN. CD Projekt Red has quietly revealed that Cyberpunk 2077 will not be available on Google Stadia when it launches on PC and consoles this September. In a press release discussing the upcoming advertising campaign for Cyberpunk, the developer states Cyberpunk 2077 will be released on September 17th, 2020 for the PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. By the end of the year, the game will debut on Google Stadia. A discrepancy between platform release dates has not been previously specified. However, it's now clear that Stadia launch will come sometime after the global launch of September 17th.
Not shocking by any stretch of the imagination. If you remember back when they, I forget when it was, but the one of the ones where they announced this or just showed something or put out the release date or whatever for it, I remember on a live react being like, wait, they didn't say Stadia. Like they made their verbiage has been cloudy before, but it's nice to see it actually it's not happening on the same day, which is just such a man. Stadia just down in the mud. They just can't have games.
Yeah, it's such a bummer because I feel like Stadia had so much going against it and so much going for it in the last couple of years, and I would have predicted that they would have made this happen.
I was thinking
a year and a half ago.
But my hope was that this would be the first big game they nailed.
Yeah, and the fact that they're not, it's like, okay, you're going to be playing catch up forever, and there's like not much to catch up once you start like losing out on this, because like this is the last Cyberpunk's going to be the last major current gen game, right?
September. I mean, like, yeah, well, you're talking about nothing with like a cross platform or a version or whatever.
Yeah. I'm just talking about like pure coming out on these systems. Like, I guess that we don't know exactly like the Call of Duty and whatever EA is doing and stuff like that. Like, maybe, but Cyberpunk feels different than those in terms of.
Yeah, no. In terms of like a. Yes, you're right then. We all understand what you're saying. Yes, there will be some other game that comes out on, you know, Valhalla is on both, obviously, but like, yes, I understand what you're saying. We understand.
Yeah, so that just sucks that Stadia is still not even going to stick that landing. And it's like, okay, cool. If you didn't even get to catch up before the next thing starts, I have no faith that we're going to start next gen, you know, all together at the starting line.
And that's the thing. I'm over here on Stadia's site, right? New releases, or it is ordered newest to oldest, right? It's Panzer Dragoon Remake, Power Rangers, Battle for the Grid, Little Nightmares, Super Hot, Mortal Kombat 11, Aftermath Collection, Sundered, Jotun Valhalla Edition, Ember Early Access, Doom 64. So it's like, I remember Doom 64 has been out a while.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there's that. Not much more to say there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was hopeful that this year they'd be able to catch up and make it that, okay, everything, you know, that the games have one release date and they're coming to Stadia the same day. And so even though I saw it coming with this, you wonder when, if ever, they'll actually catch up.
Yeah. Moving on to the Xbox side of things. This is Xbox Lockhart Evidence Mounts by Francisco De Mayo at WCCF Tech. The Xbox Series S/Lockhart console is yet to be officially announced, but it seems like it is indeed real, as the rumors are circulating online suggest. Twitter user TidalOS recently discovered a reference to Lockhart in the Windows OS libraries. While the reference doesn't mean a whole lot by itself, it would make no sense for Microsoft to include it if the console is not coming alongside the Xbox Series X. While nothing official has been said about the Series S, insiders claimed that the console hasn't been canceled. Last month, Windows Central's Jez Corden revealed that some developers he spoke with confirmed they're still targeting the console. As for the timing of the announcement, it will likely come when Microsoft will be ready to announce the pricing, as it will be the console's main draw over the more powerful Series X. What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like the rumor on this runs hot and cold all the time, where in the beginning, before we knew anything about Series X or, you know, Lockhart officially, it seemed like, oh, of course they're going to do this. And then the fact they've been silent about it for so long makes me wonder about it. And then to be here and that they're putting it into this, especially with rumors of it being canceled all around, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many different moving parts to this one that I really don't know. And it is, do you launch Xbox Series X and Lockhart at the same time, or do you launch Xbox Series X, give it its time in the sun, and then next year put out this, hey, here's the Lockhart edition, right? That is, if you just want this, we're phasing out Xbox Ones, basically. You know what I mean? Like, this is more powerful than an Xbox One, but less than an Xbox Series X, and, you know, it's streaming, it's this, it's capitalizing on everything we're doing with the new Xbox brand. So let's simplify this so that there isn't on a store shelf the original Xbox One, the original the Xbox One S, the Xbox, you know, the Xbox One X or Xbox One the Pro one that I can't remember the fucking name of right now. Then the Xbox Series X is out there too. Like, let's just get it down to two SKUs on the shelves. That makes perfect sense to me. Saying, hey, you walk into the store, there's two Xboxes on the shelves. One is cheaper. It does similar things, but not as well. Got it. Perfect. It's more the thing of all the different bundles and crazy things that are out there that you're like, why? But in the same breath, like, they just put out the, you know, or this, they started selling the Cyberpunk Xbox One bundle, right? So then it's like, you, even if you were winding down Xbox One production, you can't, why are we putting out new bundles for it and then having stuff out? It's so, can you don't, I don't think you want to go out at launch and put out two systems right there. I think you come out with the Xbox Series X, make your impression, make your statement, keep using your Xbox One, buy an Xbox One if you want, and then later on do this Lockhart business.
Yeah, man, I'm so interested in this. And like, I can't, I love that we still don't know everything and we're months away from this launch because eventually we're going to have to find out. And you're right for traditional ways of thinking, right? Like, that's just, that makes sense for how video games have worked in the past. But with Xbox being so weird with the new things like Game Pass and with xCloud and all of this, I don't have all the facts here, but last week I was reading an article about Game Pass coming to Samsung TVs, like smart TVs. And like, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I didn't see this.
But like, that is such a huge, major thing where it's like, oh, okay, cool. So there's just going to be an Xbox Game Pass on Samsung smart TVs. What's next after that? Where does that end? At what point does Xbox actually give a shit what you're playing on? And we keep talking about that, but I think that that's becoming more and more clear. With that train of thinking, I wouldn't be surprised if they put out both at the same time. And it's just like, no, we're committing to this. We're going all out. Get whatever you want. We're giving you the options.
Like, well, that's their future, right? That's what they're pushing for,
Yeah, but I wonder, like, why not start the future sooner if they are have already been laying the groundwork for everything, where it's like, let's out the gate give people as many opportunities to have the best experience with as possible, even if the best experience is the Lockhart versus the Xbox One, you know, for the people that aren't ready to make that Series X jump. Nanobiologist writes in and says, hi, Greg and Tim. So the worst kept console secret continues with more references to Lockhart popping up in Windows code. While I feel sorry for Xbox not having the chance to surprise us with a cheaper Xbox model, what's the point of keeping it secret now? All we really don't know now is the price. Now, I want to go into some speculation that we haven't really considered. Before, Lockhart was rumored to be the diskless Xbox, now the Xbox One SADE. But what if Lockhart is still diskless, but an on-the-go Fire Stick-like Xbox running xCloud? Would you consider grabbing an Xbox Cortana stick to play your games on the go? Do you see this as a potential in the future with the way that Xbox and cloud gaming are going? Could this be in the near future, or is my head going too far into the clouds? Like that. Real talk, with what I was just saying about the Samsung TV thing, like, that wouldn't be surprising.
Oh, no. I mean, that's the future Xbox wants to move to, right? Like, that's what they're talking about when they do this. I saw the article you're talking about in different places, and then Sam Mobile had an interesting one that, no, Project xCloud is not coming to Samsung TVs yet. It's talking about this access program that gives you all the stuff bundled together, including cloud. Samsung Access for smart TVs is a bit different from it for smartphones. The program for TVs lets you go of the upgrade option and includes premium content from various partners in the Samsung Premium Care Service. Premium Care Service, yada, yada, yada. You choose $120 and includes Xbox Game Pass for 8 months, blah, blah, blah. A few websites are reporting that Microsoft's Project xCloud and Xbox Game Pass could come to the Xbox or Samsung TVs, but that's not true, at least not right now. If you choose the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscription with Samsung Access for your TV, you could use it to play compatible games on your Windows PC or Xbox for 8 months.
Got it. Okay.
So it's just a bundle. But you're not off. I mean, it's legitimately the future Xbox, and Phil talk about all
the time. Totally. And then these are like laying the stones of the foundation for that. And this is the thing that Nanobiologist is talking about, that it wouldn't be surprising to me if, like, we talked about like what the price range would be for this Lockhart, whatever. And like, we're talking about 300, whatever. And like, during our predictions, I even went lower than that. I think I said 150. It could potentially be $60 for one of these things. And at that point, it's like, launched at the same time with the Series X, right? Like, hey, get this if you want all the fancy shit. If you just want to play, if you just want it with using cloud gaming and XYZ, blah, 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 here's this thing that's just like a Chromecast that you plug in. That would be freaking insane. Such an easy sell to get people into the ecosystem.
I agree. And here's a question I think plays into it that I had later in the show for you, but I'm bringing it here. Zygeron. Good morning, KFGD hosts. I have a simple question for y'all. What's the deal with xCloud? We haven't heard much on it in a while, and we still have no idea when it's officially coming out. Have any of you tried it out? Do you think we could see more about it this month from Xbox or later this year? Anyways, stay safe and much love for the Kind of Funny crew.
Zygeron.
This, I think, plays into the thing because, of course, yeah, you know, the question you asked, right? Or I'm sorry, that Nano asked, right? Would I carry a Cortana stick for $60 and plug that in anywhere? Yeah, if it worked really well. And that's the thing I think xCloud's been building to, right? Last year they talked about Project xCloud was going to go into open beta this year, and that it would you know, go into using your actual games library and Xbox Game Pass, meaning that right now there's select titles on xCloud you can play for free. However, they'd open it up to what you already own, and then if you're a Game Pass member, what you could get into there. I think that is such a huge part of Xbox the next 5 to 10 years of Xbox. That's the big missing piece on top of all this, where I want to see them talk about that. I want to see them roll out that functionality, and I want to see how that plays into what they're doing with Lockhart. And then, because that's the thing, is like, if they're still going to keep it in beta this year, but open it up to more people and open it up to your entire games library, is that something you want to be touting at launch with a, you know, the Lockhart? Mm-hmm. I say no, or even if it is the stick, right? You want to walk before you can run. So I'd want that opened up to more people using more tech, growing faster than ever, and be free, you know what I mean? The way it already is right now, that you jump in there and you have free games. So people get in there, they kick the tires on it, they figure out the problems, and then next year when they do launch Lockhart or this stick or whatever you want to call it, it is this idea of, hey, we've already proven this thing worked. We've ironed out the wrinkles. It's, you know, latency is down to barely nothing. Here you go. This is a way to go tackle it.
Yeah.
So I think you hear about it soon. I hope we hear about it one of the, you know, showcases.
Definitely. And, you know, Xbox has been saying that we're getting every month there's going to be news with their 2020 program and stuff. But there's one man out there, only one man, Greg Miller, that has gathered all of the different video game events. E3 might be dead. This week was supposed to be E3. Me and you would have been in LA, not today, but tomorrow.
Tomorrow we would have flown
to go down there and like get our hands on all the video games and stuff. But since that's not happening, the video game industry has been splintered across many different avenues, about many different press conferences, directs, connects, whatever the hell it is, right? But one man made a calendar that has all of these things. And that man is Jeff Grubb with the Jeff Grubb Summer Game Mess. Kevin Coelho, can you please bring up the first tweet that I have there? So for anyone following along with Kind of Funny Games Daily, at some point we rebranded the show Kind of Funny Grub Daily, because we just keep referencing him and all of the work he's been doing on this Summer Game Mess calendar. But back in May, he first did a calendar. It's changed over time, whatever. He did an updated calendar June 5th, so just a couple days ago. Kev, can you click into that black notepad screenshot there? Yeah. So this is like where it stands currently.
I hate to do this to you, Tim. That's incorrect. Jeff's updated 36 minutes and 20 minutes ago.
Oh, let's get 20 minutes ago,
he says Xboxing Day dropped all the way to August. So Jeff Grubb now hearing that Xboxing Day is in August, along with another state of play, apparently.
Well, okay. You cut me off at the knees here with that, Greg.
Sorry. Oh, wait, in a good way or bad way? This is information you needed to know.
The point that I was trying to make is the June update that he did on June 5th had no reference to Xboxing Day, period, which is something I noticed, because I was very – the things I'm most intrigued about on this are what Xboxing Day is. I assume it's talking about Lockhart in some way, right? But I also want to know what this Mel Gibson picture / Tom Cruise shirtless volleyball –
you know, Jeff puts this in there. That's the problem with Grubb and why I can't trust him. He just goes in and makes things up. Call this guy right now. Have him explain.
But so here's the thing, Greg. The reason I wanted to bring this up is there's another tweet that I had that showed that he had this thing on May 5th originally. He had June 10th was going to be Xboxing Day, yeah, right? And then it just disappeared. So now you're telling me that it's actually there. But yes, we're going to call Jeff Grubb himself, because I want to get to the bottom of this. I want to figure out what's going on.
It's time to name names, day. Name sources. You know what I mean? Frankly, I'm sick of it.
Oh, no. What is this?
Jeff Grubb, what's up? This is Tim Geddes. You're with Greg Miller. We are on Kind of Funny Games Daily. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. it was better before you guys called me.
So I want to let you know that we appreciate you very much, as I'm sure you know that we talk about you every day, every weekday at the very least.
Yeah, that's okay. I try to listen every day. It's a good
So here's my question for you, all right? And it's already been kind of answered because you did some updates while the show is live. But I noticed that this Xboxing Day mysteriously disappeared from your Summer Game Mess calendar. And I was trying to figure out what was the reasoning behind that. So now you're saying August. Do you have any more to say about this? I know you have your secrets, you have your hints.
Yeah, So I took it down, but I wanted to give it some time. I knew it moved for the time it was scheduled for, but I wanted to give it a little bit of a figure out exactly what was happening. I looked into a little bit more. It seems like Microsoft definitely doesn't want to go before Sony. Probably this week. It seems almost this week. So that was the big reason they moved it.
So if you care to let us know this, do you think that Xboxing Day includes any Lockhart information?
I think it includes Lockhart information. I think it's exactly what that event is. Yeah, for sure.
Very exciting stuff. Do you have anything else you would like to say here on Kind of Funny Games Daily?
You know what? You guys, that's all I really want to say. This is good stuff for sure.
I love it. I'm very excited for whatever this Mel Gibson picture is.
You know what? A lot of people figured that one out at this point. It's like, they were going to announce it earlier this month. They had to keep pushing it. So it's like people had solved the mystery. So if you really look and kind of connect the dots there, I'm pretty sure you'll figure it out. But I want to make sure people set their expectations, set it at like a 5 out of 10. So that like maybe if it's something that's like up your alley, you could be super excited. Otherwise, I think a lot of people are going to be like, oh, okay. Just trying to have fun, Tim.
I love it, man. This is the one calendar to rule them all. Thank you very much for everything you do.
Thanks for giving me a call, man. You guys have a good one.
All right, bye. Jeff Grubb, ladies and gentlemen. You got to love him.
It's from the phone.
The call's not okay. It started off sounding like...
Yeah, it was rough. I was like, man, where are we going with this one?
But we got there. Interesting stuff, though. So, hey, if Jeff Grubb's saying Lockhart exists, I believe Lockhart exists. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the only option we have. Moving on, the PC gaming show lineup has been revealed with 50 plus games. As in years past, the PC gaming show will consist of world exclusive trailers, gameplay reveals, announcements, and interviews. Highlights include an exclusive interview with Rocketworks founder Dean Hall about his next project, a first look at Surgeon Simulator 2, the debut of a new trailer from New Blood Interactive, a special surprise for Torchlight 3 fans, and several new trailers from Humble Games. This year's supersized lineup includes more than 50 games featuring, Jesus, there is a lot of different devs here. 2K Games Media, Amazon Games, Atlas, Battlestate.
Stop right there. Atlas? Atlas.
Atlas. I wonder.
At the PC gaming show. Atlas. If these turbo-taxing dorks get Persona 5... before Switch owners get Switch 5. God is dead. All right. Continue.
That brings up, an interesting conversation that's separate from this, but, you know, there's all these rumors of Bloodborne coming to PC. It's just like, it's so crazy that we're like, PC gaming is becoming more and more mainstream than ever, just with like ease of use now, and just like with, you know, Twitch becoming what it is, where it's kind of like, you know, gaming, Minecraft changed gaming to the point that PCs became just as relevant as consoles ever were. And I think that we're going to continue to keep going down that type of path. And yeah, like with PlayStation's exclusives, whether they're, you know, first party titles or getting into things like with Atlas, with Persona, what could that look like if Persona 5 were to come to PC? What does that mean going forward? What does that mean for, you know, eventually when we get to the PS5 games? And yeah. You ever see Last of Us 2 on PC? I don't know. Then there's a whole bunch of other people too. Merge Games, Modus Games. Let's see.
Don't Sega, Nod is on there. I thought it was an interesting call.
Don't Nod.
Interesting, but I you know, as much as I love Don't Nod, I was just like, okay, cool. What are you guys up to?
Glumberland, the people that made Ooblets. Wolfeye Studios, the people that made Weird West, which I don't know what that is, but sounds very intriguing. Anyway, exciting.
Glumberland is a pretty silly name. All right. And I like that they put it in there as Glumberland, parentheses, Ooblets, to explain to the fact of like, hey, I know you've never heard of these developers. You heard of Ooblets, though. That's how this works.
Yeah. So cool. You can watch the PC Gaming Show on twitch.tv/PCGamer or youtube.com/PCGamer on Saturday, June 13th at 11 a.m. Pacific. It's kind of funny to me that the irony in, you know, this actually becoming E3 week again.
Yeah.
Everyone tried running from it. It's inevitable. It has to come back.
I'll come back to this.
Story number 5, Need for Speed Heat adds crossplay, and it's the first to do it. This comes from Michael McWhorter at Polygon. Need for Speed Heat, the 2019 racing game developed by Ghost Games, is getting cross-play support on PS4, Windows, both on Origin and Steam, and Xbox One starting June 9th. Criterion Games, which has taken over development of the Need for Speed franchise, announced cross-play support on Monday, confirming that Tuesday's update will be the final one for Heat. Need for Speed Heat will be the first EA-developed game to support cross-platform multiplayer, said Matt Webster, general manager of Criterion Games. Once you've installed the update, see full update notes here. You can go there to check them out, including other fixes as well. You can opt in to race players across the different consoles, like we said. You can search for your friends who are playing on any of the above systems, given they've opted in for crossplay as well inside the Find Players menu. Then you go to the EA Friends tab in the Party menu to see who's online to play with. Need for Speed Heat, as well as Need for Speed Rivals, was 2016's Need for Speed, was released on Steam alongside other EA games last week. EA says more of its PC catalog will come to Steam. Webster said fans should watch EA Play Live on June 18th for more Need for Speed and Steam announcements. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Criterion is also developing the next Need for Speed game regarding Need for Speed Heat and Criterion's new role as franchise caretaker. Webster said, "We're listening to what you love about this experience and what you all believe could be even better. With their insights, we have a terrific foundation to create the most expressive, most socially connected action pack yet for Need for Speed fans and beyond."
Yeah.
We are also considering making Need for Speed Underground 3. I added that last part.
They didn't say
I just really hope one day that they just do it. And at this point, Greg, with the Decade of Dreams, it's gonna happen. We're gonna get Need for Speed Underground 3. It has to happen, or a reboot or some shit. Anyways,
you'll get that, Frank, and never, ever, ever get Skate 4.
Frank bring Furter, back
Road Rash. They will take care of everything. Skate fans will continue to be fucked over.
Frank Furter writes in, says, "Good morning, Greg and Tim. EA is finally going to start crossplay with Need for Speed Heat. Why? I'm sure there's some hardcore fans that are excited about this. However, why would you dip your toes into crossplay with such a niche genre? Why wouldn't EA start with something like Battlefront 2 or release a new multiplayer game and say it'll be crossplay? Why pick Need for Speed Heat?"
Because, Frankfurter, you forgot the golden lesson of one Uncharted Drake's Fortune. Greatness from small beginnings. Why not start with something that is incredibly niche and go ahead, figure it out. We're going to start crossplay with, no offense to Need for Speed Heat, a game that nobody has expectations for, or expectations are drastically lower than if you were to say, all right, Battlefront 2, the game that we've brought back to prominence, that we actually got re-reviewed on IGN, that everybody's like, cool, they learned from all the microtransaction bullshit. Now they are ready to actually jump in and do a thing. Let's go. Like, you don't want to fuck that up. You don't want to fuck up all the momentum. So go and do this. Take this game out there. Learn how you're doing that. Take this for a spin.
Absolutely. Hey, there you go. I absolutely love that, though. I mean, that's what it is. It's like, you need to make sure that you're getting the smaller things working in order for the big flagships to be able to roll it out without issue. But even with that, though, I looked into a couple numbers here that I thought were interesting. I thought the Need for Speed Heat was like an absolute flop, but it has a 72 on Metacritic. Granted, I'd expect more and want more from a Need for Speed game.
Tim Getty's patented phrase, swimming in sevens.
Swimming at seven. No, well, that's the Michael Huber over at Easy Eyes. He patented it.
Michael Stuber, never heard of him.
I hate you. I hate you so damn much. But yeah, 72 on Metacritic, which I was kind of surprised by. I thought that it was going to be more of like a 50-something, you know, based on the way that people talked about that game. It also seemed like people didn't talk about that game unless it was negative. A fun little thing just in the side, just because this made me laugh. DualShockers did give it a 3 out of 10. And the quote was, if Forza and Heat were in a boxing match, Forza would be Mike Tyson in his prime and Heat would be a toddler. So that's not trying to prove the point I'm trying to make here. But the 72 on Metacritic is. And I was trying to find sales numbers for Need for Speed Heat to see where it hit. And going into the launch, EA projected that it was going to get 3 to 4 million sales, which is pretty good. And that's just in line with other Need for Speed games. And then we didn't get actual sales numbers since. But what we do have is the first week, they tweeted out Need for Speed Heat set a new record during the first week with more people playing this game than any other Need for Speed title this generation. So
interesting.
That's good news. And then that's also backed up by, I went back and looked at the NPD for that month in November 2019, and it hit number 9. So game sold. Like people have this game. Add on top of that, people that seem to not hate the game. And add on top of that, now it's on Steam. So it's like there is going to be a new audience for it. Right. Man, it's not, we're not talking millions and millions, but like,
As you call out the audience and not being millions and millions, I saw it roll through the Twitch chat a second ago too. The idea that you probably need or want crossplay here because of the fact of their smaller communities, unifying them into one gives you a bigger pool to play with, right? Exactly. Rather than, hey, we're on Steam, so there's an influx of new players there, but PlayStation 4, Xbox, they've, you know, seen people atrophy and leave and not play it daily. It's not as much of a reason to go back. Suddenly, if you take everybody, toss them into one world, one pool, one multiplayer, there seems like a much more lively environment.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I think that this is a good sign from EA, a rare time that I'm saying that. But I think that this is a good step forward. We've been saying this for months now that going into next gen, if you don't have crossplay, you're going to get laughed out of the room. So yeah. It's good to see that EA is jumping on that early.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. You know, a year after, you know, Call of Duty did it, but this idea that, yeah, like to what we're saying, like you have to do this now. This is now that the curtain's been pulled back and people understand that this is not easy but doable. And you know, PlayStation and Xbox seem to have laid down arms in the fight. Then yeah, why aren't you doing this?
Yeah, and it's crazy how impactful this crossplay is in a mainstream general sense. Like seeing Nick's now playing more multiplayer games than ever, which just means he's playing any, but still cool. But like him and Andy being able to play on PC and PS4, and it seems like there's gonna be issues no matter what with everything. But well, like Nick too. Yeah, exactly. But it's like that's cool to see. And then on the other side, like my group of friends that are like I've talked about so many different times, they're not like hardcore gamers, but like they play games randomly and like they'll play big PlayStation exclusives, but then they also play Warzone. But it's cool seeing like that group, some of them have PC, some have Xbox, some have PS4, and they're playing Warzone together. Like that's
awesome.
That's awesome. It's that mainstream of a thing that they're just like, oh, this is video games. That's how they work. So it's good to see EA taking the steps to make sure that 3 years from now, it's just a standard across all of the big games, including Battlefront 3, whenever it happens. Right.
Yeah.
More EA news here. EA extends free Xbox Series X upgrade offer for Madden NFL 21 after player complaints. This comes from Sumit Sakar at Polygon. Madden NFL 21 publisher EA has extended the duration of its free upgrade offer for the next-gen version of the game, changing its policy in response to criticism from fans and the media. Now the promotion will be valid all the way until the next game, Madden NFL 2022, is released in the summer of 2021. EA announced its offer in early May during an Inside Xbox episode focusing on Series X games, in which Microsoft revealed 9 titles from third-party publishers that would be part of the company's Smart Delivery initiative. Supporting Smart Delivery means the customers who buy the Xbox One version of the game in question will receive a free upgrade to the improved Series X version once it's released, rather than having to buy another version of the same game. However, EA took a different approach that calls it dual entitlement. Jesus Christ, I didn't know that's what they called it. Holy shit. That's because the publisher put time constraints on the offer, saying that in order to be eligible for it, Madden NFL 21 customers would have to buy the game on Xbox by December 31st, 2020. And redeem the upgrade by March 31st, 2021. The Xbox Series X is scheduled to launch this holiday season, so this policy would have left out anyone who didn't buy the next-gen console within its first 5 or so months. There's a whole bunch of other issues there. During the recent Inside Xbox announcement, we included some dates limiting this dual entitlement approach. The text on EA's Next Level website now says, having listened to our players' response, we're extending the offer all the way through the season up to the next game, so players can upgrade to Series X whenever they purchase the new console within that period. Got to give good credit where credit's due. Yeah. They listened. They said something. People got upset, and they're like, "This is dumb. You're right. We should fix it." And honestly, like, I'm going to take this even a step further. I think that it's not necessarily EA's fault that they fumbled. this bit.
Look, we're on it.
We're on, man. We're freaking on. Did they fumble this because we don't know everything about PS4 and Xbox One's equity when it comes to these type of systems going forward? So it's like, I'm not surprised that some of the third parties are saying things or doing things that seem to not line up perfectly. I imagine that similar to crossplay, once we start getting in a little bit more and get a little more information, a lot of this is going to start to just
fade away,
you know, homogenize into a way where we're like, oh, okay, everything is equal. And if you're not, you're going to get called out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's exactly what you want to see EA do. Where exactly they announced something, they did something, they're told that's stupid. People show concrete examples of why it's stupid. Like, you know what? That was stupid. We'll change that. Sorry. Here's a way we're moving around doing it.
Totally. And it, you know, I honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they even push this further, depending on what PlayStation ends up doing on their side. Because if, again, if everyone's doing the same thing, you're going to look like an asshole if you're, you know, nickel and diamond people.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, you, there's not much more to say. You nail it, right?
But even with that, though, it gets weird with sports games and with similar games to that, because where we've moved to such a games as a service world, sports games are the ones that haven't. And sports games are the ones that, you know, I feel that the industry as a whole would have predicted would have done that first.
We had been saying a long, long time ago, right? That, yeah, when were you going to move to, you buy the game and then you buy roster updates or whatever.
Yeah, and it's weird that, you know, that's fighting games have kind of done that. Of course, all the looter shooters and all that stuff have done it. But it's like, yeah, the sports games are the ones. And I'm sure there are examples of ones that have. But I'm talking about
Madden,
NBA 2K and Madden. It's like, when are we going to see that? Will we see that? What does that look like? I don't know. Final story, number 7, EA Play got delayed. They tweeted out, with the important conversations taking place and important voices being heard around the world right now, we're moving our time to come together in play. We'll see you at EA Play Live 2020 on June 18th at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern, and I don't know what BST time. You can Google that if you want to know.
Well, we can do the math, right? It was 9 p.m. BST for a 1 p.m. thing. So add 3 hours to it. There you go, midnight BST.
Midnight. BST,
the next, which somebody day. Else shouted out in the chat. I said British Standard Time, British Summer Time, apparently. So there you go.
Whoa, I would have never guessed.
Boy, matey, enjoy the summer, you know?
Oh, man. Not surprising. It is what it is. Not too big of a way.
A late one in, I think, you know, last week when everything was getting announced or whatever. That happened after Games Daily as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. But even with this delay, EA's Play is so far away. If I wanted to know what's coming to mom and grab shops today, where would I look?
You go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
It's goddamn right.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what's out today. God, Pixel Kevin. Bombs on PC. Cannon Ship on PC. Heretic's Lot Prologue on PC. Edge of Dreams on PC.
Edge
Satisfactory on PC. Out of all those, Greg, which do you want to play the most?
Oh, man. Did you say Cute Triplets?
I didn't yet.
I'm looking at the list. Cute Triplets is probably what I want.
And the last one is Cute Triplets on PC.
Can I see the trailer for Cute Triplets on PC? I can't watch the entire thing.
While Kevin gets that, let me tell you real quick. Deals of the day, Neon Abyss on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch, and PC is coming out on July 14th. That's supposed to be a new date. Also new dates, Paper Beast coming to Steam will also be part of the Steam Summer Festival 16th to the 22nd of June, where a free demo of the game will be available. So that's pretty cool. Oh, here we go. Here's Cute Triplets.
Cute Triplets. All right. I was expecting something sexy. What is this?
Wait, why were you expecting something sexy?
They're Cute Triplets, Kevin.
But it's like Hot Triplets, you know.
This, I'm getting a lot of Captain Toad vibes. Oh, they're kitty cats. Kitty cats.
Jump into the middle of this thing. It's just it looks like a full playthrough. Just jump to the middle. Let me see what happens in the gameplay. Because right now we're still close selecting what cute cats.
No, I can't move. This is Steam's like trailer.
Okay, just turn it off.
Just turn it off. Burn it with fire, please. Ladies and gentlemen, this
episode
they got
metal cats.
Kind of Funny
Games
cats.
Daily is brought to you by youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Why? I don't know, Greg. You tell me.
because, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to have a huge week on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, we started off strong with Nick Plays The Last of Us, the first part of the playthrough. There's going to be, of course, your live reactions as PS I Love You XOXO reactions to the PlayStation 5 event on Thursday, alongside the Watch It Live Reacts thing, alongside Friday, there being, of course, your Last of Us Part 2 review, 12:01 a.m. Pacific Time, Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames has all those things. And I know it better than anybody. You're driving your car right now. You're bebopping and listening to me and Kevin make some jazz. Kevin, 3, 2, 1. Bebop. That's jazz right there. We made that for you. And so as we're doing that, you're enjoying your car ride. You're not worrying about YouTube. But I need you, when you get home or pull over to the median right now or block traffic and get everybody to get out of their car and open their phone too, go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames on YouTube and just subscribe. You got a Google account, I'm sure. Go in there and subscribe. I don't care if you never watch the videos. Are you aware that Kind of Funny now has a decisive lead on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames? That's bullshit.
I love it.
You're going to sit there with a straight face and tell me KFAF and In Review are more popular than our games content? They are not. But it's the problem is all you fucking nerdy gamers, you love to sit there.
We did a screencast,
What I need you to do is get off your gaming asses, all right? Put down the Cheetos and Mountain fucking Dew and go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Click the fucking sub button. It costs you nothing. Nick can't have this over me. All right. He can have a better rating on WikiFeet. Fine. Whatever. But I'm not going to allow this to stand on YouTube.
Kevin, that was one of the best things you've ever done. Ever.
I love it. I'm real proud of that.
Him testing it and like working on it. And I was watching the Xavier. Maybe it was Xavier Blessings episode. It was either that one or it was the Caliph one. And it was like a serious moment. And like 14 Kevins popped up at the bottom for like 10 seconds, or like 2 seconds, and then went away. I was like, yep. All right. Kevin's working.
God. I love it. I love it. Hey, but let's keep it in the ad real quick, because I do want to say, like, if YouTube's not your thing, we got other options. And I the thing that we don't talk about enough, I don't think, is the podcast services having their own feed, where Kind of Funny Games has a lot of different feeds that you could subscribe to that would really help us. We got Gamescast. Sure. We got PS I Love You. We also have First Impressions, which is where we upload our first impression thoughts as audio versions. We haven't done many of those because games haven't been really coming out as much. But that feed does exist. And subscribing to all those helps a lot. And also, we didn't give a shout out to last week's Gamescast, which is a spoiler cast of The Last of Us Part 1. Yep. It was good.
It was real good.
We should go check that out. Anyway.
My favorite was the argument in the chat of like, you can see how hard it is to make content for people, where a lot of people were like, oh, I hate this Greg doing the In Review summary of Last of Us. And then the other half being like, I live for this. I hope they do it all the time. But you can't win them all. You know what I mean?
You can't.
But again, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Don't let Tim muddy the message. Just go there and subscribe. All right, let's start small. We'll get you to the other podcast feeds eventually. But for right now, don't let Nick hold this over my head. Thank you.
Now it's time to squad up. Daniel says, I need some best friends on PlayStation, as most of my multiplayer
people... Breaking news. It is official. PlayStation has tweeted, ladies and gentlemen. The reveal is happening June 11th, 1 p.m. Pacific time.
There we go. Very exciting stuff. Squad up. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to squad up with us if you need people to play games. Daniel says, I need some best friends on PlayStation, as most of my multiplayer people are on Xbox, to hunt that mean old predator in Hunting Grounds. My gamer tag is... Pressurizer, just spelled weird.
That's how they like love to do it.
Pressurizer, just for your information. That's PRSCHERIZER. Pressurizer.
Anyways, everybody.
I'm usually on around 9 p.m. Central. I'm in Texas during the week. Thanks for the help, Greg. It means a lot. And thank you for all the years of content that you and the guys have given us. You're welcome, sir. You're welcome. Go squad up with him. I do actually want to do one reader mail. Question here, Greg, before we move on to the you're wrong section and then the post show and blah blah blah. Big Cat writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, good morning, Tim and Greg. I want to get right down to business. Monkey business. The 21st anniversary of the original Ape Escape is in 16 days, but we haven't heard anything substantial about the series in a long time. While other PlayStation 3D platformers have been making a comeback, like Spyro, Ratchet, and Crash, there have been seemingly no love from the PlayStation for the Simian Fugitives. There hasn't even been a mainline game released in 15 years. My question is, will the PS5 mark a return for the primates, or is Ape Escape done for good? Thanks and all the best. So, couple things I want to say about this, Greg. First off,
yeah,
I want a new Ratchet and Clank really, 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 really fucking bad. And I honestly think that it would be one of my most get hype moments of this PS5 reveal event.
Wow. Okay.
Because I it's just one of those things where we don't think about that. We think about all the other, like the big guys, right? Where's Spider-Man 2 from Insomniac? I'm like, oh, but what about Ratchet? What about that Ratchet? We haven't got a new Ratchet in... We haven't got a new good Ratchet in generations, it feels, right? Like, it's been since the PS3. Because PS4 only had the remake, which was amazing, which but was it was great. A remake.
Okay, okay. As long as you're on the same page, yes.
No,
yes,
I fucking I love it. I mean, I think that's... It's debatably my favorite Ratchet game.
Wow.
I still think I give it to Crack in Time, but still, it's between those two. But I would love it, like a PS5 ground-up Ratchet and Clank game. That'd be super fun. Anyways, sure. back to Ape Escape. I was trying to figure this out because it is interesting. We see Sony kind of going down the well, trying to like come back and revitalize a lot of these games. Activision found major success across its hit PlayStation games with the Spyro games, with Crash games, Crash Team Racing, all of that stuff, right? And then we saw PlayStation try to get that with Medieval. That didn't work as well. But that's just because we were getting to that point where it's like, what can we reach down to get, right?
Sure.
3D platformers have a different place in people's hearts. It's different. Final Fantasy VII Remake. The examples are plentiful, right? Ape Escape. A game that's talked about enough. I don't want to say a lot. I don't want to say a little. When we talk about PlayStation games, like, people talk about Ape Escape, right? Like, Ape Escape is one of those ones where I'm not surprised to hear it brought up as like, oh, why isn't it coming back? Or when's it going to come back? Or whatever. Things about Ape Escape is tied to the original DualShock, and like playing with all that stuff. You couldn't play it with the original PlayStation controller. Would you be surprised, Greg? Because this surprised me. And the reason I brought all this up is to say this fact. Ape Escape is not in the top 100 best-selling PlayStation games.
Yeah.
Is that bizarre to you?
No. I'm so sick of hearing about Ape Escape.
I mean, you said the same shit about Crash Bandicoot back in the day.
Yeah, but I was joking about Crash.
but even then, though, it's like, I am legitimately kind of surprised that, like, you look at the Spyro games, you look at the Crash games, and, like, they're all in, like, top 20. Not all, but, like, most. I mean, even Spyro 2 is at 25. We got Frogger on PlayStation at number 26. Spyro 3 is at 27. You go down, and it's like DDR. Your first DDR on PlayStation is on this list. Like, we're getting pretty dire when it's coming to some of these games, man. Like,
yeah, but wasn't Ape Escape?
You're telling me that Derby Stallion 99 sold more than Ape Escape? Too Extreme? Test Drive 5? Dancing Stage Party Edition? Like, we're just getting to a point where I'm like, I'm shocked. I would have thought that Ape Escape maybe in the 50s. Am I crazy?
I mean, yeah, I think Ape Escape was a bigger deal in Japan. And I think mythos or whatever, the DNA of it or whatever, of people who are super into PlayStation know about Ape Escape and like maybe played it and enjoyed it. But like, come on, just move on. No, we don't need more Ape Escape. And I'm maybe they're going to show it this week. Maybe Ape Escape's here. The 21st anniversary is what we're talking about now. It's funny. I looked it up because I was like, didn't the Twitter account do some shit or whatever that was going to get it there? Googled it. It took me to Push Square. January 3rd, 2020. Rumor. Is this Ape Escape Twitter account hinting at a new game in 2020? Directly below that, June 2019. News. Is this Twitter account teasing a new Ape Escape game? Every six fucking months, this Twitter shits something out and everybody's like, oh, fuck, it must be happening. Because It's going to happen. It's going to happen eventually.
I don't know that it will.
Like, you're definitely, before you fucking die, you're getting another Ape Escape game.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I guarantee it. Do you think we get a Parappa before we get an Ape Escape?
I hope so. I always like Parappa more. Parappa, you know, it's one of those things, like, don't get me wrong, the game's hit or miss.
Parappa the Rapper. 60th best-selling PlayStation game.
I feel like if you were to come out and really, like, turn that on its head, not do a remake. Well, I guess a remake. But, I mean, like, from a ground up, do whatever you want with Parappa the Rapper. I think that could be really cool. Yeah. Ape Escape, they're just fucking apes. Who cares?
Rugrats Search for Reptar is 62. How the fuck is Ape Escape not above that? I do think that a big part of it has to do with the DualShock controller thing, because that limits stuff. I don't know, man. I'm blown away by this news. Blown the fuck away.
Sorry, buddy. Somebody had to when they did it. You know?
you can go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to let us know what we get wrong as we screw it up in this here Kind of Funny Games Daily. Azalomage says that the DualSense was announced in April 2020. Earlier we said November 2019. Time, flat circle. It is what it is. Lord Opponent says the Jeff Grubb, Mel Gibson thing is the Project Maverick reveal from EA Motive. That makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Star Wars Maverick. That makes
sense. Yeah. So, yeah, Grubhub, who I'm not sure if that's Jeff Grubb or not, or just a Jeff Grubb fan. Jeff Grubb fan, number one Grubhub in the chat, says, someone else in the chat said, Mel Gibson has a movie called Maverick. Tom Cruise is Maverick. Star Wars Maverick.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Fucking let's go, baby. Let's go.
You excited for them? Oh, based on the key art we saw.
I mean, I don't even remember what that key art was. It's more Star Wars games. I'm excited for that. Let's go. And that's it. Oh, wait. Stairway to Evan says, on the official announcement of the PS5 event, they said the event will be streamed in 1080p and to wear headphones.
They're like, fuck you, Senua's Sacrifice. We got you.
That's interesting. And you know what, Greg? This is a conversation for another time. We're not going to have it right here, right now. But I got a lot of beef with headphones in video games. That's all I'm going to say. One day, we'll talk about that more. And I'm excited to see what Sony has to say. But anyways, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Thank you very much for joining us on this beautiful Monday. We will return for the rest of the week. I closed the dock like a freaking idiot. Who do we have hosting the rest of the week, Greg Miller?
It's simple. Tomorrow will be Imran and Fran. Worth pointing out, tomorrow before Games Daily, there is a Destiny event happening. It'll be Fran, Destiny Master himself, Andy, and me. Just me hosting, obviously, and asking dumb questions because I haven't played Destiny forever. We'll be live reacting to that on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. It'll go up later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Then we'll roll into Imran and Fran hosting Games Daily. Then Wednesday, it's me and Gary. Thursday, it's me and Blessing. Friday, me and Blessing.
There you go. Until then, though, we're going to do the Kind of Funny Games Daily post show for patreon.com/kindoffunnygames supporters. Thank you very much, everybody. I love you.
Bye.